Hello and welcome back to the Heart Song Yoga podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Sarah.
This week we are concluding our chakra series with Sahasrara, or the crown chakra.
7 weeks gone already.
Where did that go?
Where did that go?
Time flies.
So Sahasrara. Yes. Where does that take you?
Well, it's crown of the head, I suppose, physically.
Mm. Yeah. And it's just interesting in it from a yoga perspective because I suppose it's the culmination when you think of or when you reflect on the word yoga, which translates as yoke or to combine, union. It's mm-hmm. like it's the whole essence of yoga is that to be in union with all that is, to be in union. And that's bringing you right up to the crown, isn't it, and beyond, to be at one with all, the ultimate of what your practice is for.
It's a conduit, I suppose, isn't it, to a higher source, a higher self.
Mm. And when do you find yourself, you know, so traditionally you could say, oh, there's pictures of people sitting in the lotus position, you know, holding a mudra and looking all blissed out, which is very unlikely for most people in their yoga practice to sit in that position and look very blissed out, my experience. So how else can you reach that? You know, can we break this down into an everyday achievable state of being that we can reach that sense of feeling like, you know, we are peaceful and at one? When do you most feel like that?
When I'm writing.
Hmm. And there's the flow state that's often talked about where you get into that flow state and maybe you get into it with your writing. Musicians get into it when they're in that zone.
Yeah.
And all thought goes. They're not really mechanically thinking anymore.
No, I'm glad you brought that up because I have had an experience, not with writing but with music, of, and it was a full-on out-of-body experience. And that is, interestingly, the crown chakra is where the awareness went. So I was now existing in a space above my head, kind of observing myself play and play the best thing I'd ever played and have not managed to match since, you know. It's and quite a remarkable experience, certainly an inspired experience, definitely had that feeling of oneness and connection to something much, much bigger than me and you know, produced an inspired artistic result. And I don't think you need to have that. I don't know if you'd even want to be in that space all the time. But it's, I think that was definitely a very crown chakra activity. Anyone who's ever had that sort of out-of-body experience in relation to anything will probably find that they can place it somewhere. And for me, that's where it was. So that was interesting.
Yeah, nice experience to be able to reflect on, to know then that there is that feeling, to know that there is this place and it's not just some place that you never get to because you've actually experienced it when you're in that zone. And and often when we try and reproduce that, well, we're thinking too much and we don't get back there.
Yeah, I think you can't sort of try. You just have to be open. Mm. And I do get a lot of flow in my writing when I'm, especially if I'm working on like channeling stuff. There is a sense, less so because I'm still kind of in my body mostly, but I almost feel like in some ways it's more connected in the sense of I don't actually have to be forced out of my body to experience it. Mm. I think that's something that maybe you get when you really don't know any other way to do it. But you can have that connection to the crown, to that divine source of wisdom and inspiration without having to be in an out-of-body experience state.
Absolutely.
And that's what I get when I'm writing.
And I think that is
as powerful and as true. You don't have to be outside your body for it to be real, you know.
I don't think I can think of a time when I've had that out-of-body, not that experience. I've certainly had some meditation experiences that have been very profound and take you into another dimension, but you don't really know that you've left your body as such. It's just but often when I'm working with someone and I'm listening and usually in a therapy situation, if I can surrender and I do it more and more often now, but in the beginning it was like reminding myself to do it when I sort of reached that impasse in a situation where, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? How am I going to help this person? And almost like surrendering and just like giving it up to spirit and saying, okay, I need some help. Give me some divine intervention here because I'm really struggling. And in whichever way you do it. But when I open myself up to that and give the, it's almost like you give the signal and give permission for that to come through. I often find that I'll start giving, I'll start speaking, and I don't know where that's coming from. And that information just flows from me. And if someone said, oh, now what did you say back then? Can I just, can you just repeat that? I can't repeat it.
I've had that too.
Yeah. And so consciously asking to receive that input and then experiencing it flowing through you, like once again, you become the vessel or the channel for that higher frequency of information to come through.
And it doesn't have to be words if words are not your medium. You know, you can have, I've often found that sometimes it's just a feeling, and sometimes I'm invited to that in writing, like if I'm right to sort of journaling and channeling, and the invitation sometimes is, you know, if the words aren't flowing, sometimes it's because I'm blocking it. Sometimes it's because it's a time to put the pen down and feel it on a different sort of level or a different version of it. There's no one way to commune with the divine. It's not, it's not only going to work if you are in a particular yogic position sitting on top of a mountain. It's not only going to work if you are receiving words in a particular language. It's, you know, it's all encompassing. And so I feel like it's what you are driven to do. You know, like if you are driven to dance or to play with a particular expression, you know, whether it's, I mean, I think creativity is probably the core, but, you know, it might be that you enjoy working with wood and that's how you commune. It's or whatever it is. You might like making sandcastles on the beach. Like if there's something that gives you that feeling, go and do it.
Yeah. It's almost like bringing that into the everyday, isn't it? It's that spiritual creative practice in whatever way works for you that we can put ourselves into where we are most likely then to touch on this region of consciousness, Sahasra, region of consciousness that we have access to.
That would you say, would you say it is prayer? Is that what you are?
Yeah, look, for some people it's prayer.
You come up in yoga so much, but I'm just wondering if that would be the same thing for people.
Yeah, I think so, absolutely. When you're in that state of prayer, for some people it's prayer, for some people it's, it's when you're using, you know, and that's, you know, prayer beads, mala beads, different traditions have the same bead, but different names and, you know, same sort of tools to bring your attention, to bring your focus. It's sort of like giving you that capacity to direct your consciousness into that one place for that moment and allowing the rest of the chatter to fall away. So you've got this one-pointed focus. That's what those tools are for.
Which is sort of being absorbed in a task as well, isn't it? It's like if you can sort of be present in what you're doing, that joy often comes through in it no matter what it is.
Yes. And I've often heard in different things I've listened to by different people over the years that the vibrational frequency of prayer is very, is the same frequency as that of playing, playing, prayer. It's that, it's that beautiful, I was going to say innocent or childlike space of being that hasn't been infiltrated with the heaviness of our everyday existence.
I think it's presence. It's because when you're playing, if you are immersed in the play, there's this joyful sense of being here right now. There's no worry about what's just happened or what's going to happen. It's it's you can't be playing if you are not present. And it's, and I think that's the childlike innocence that we talk about, is that the kids aren't worrying about what's for dinner tonight, or you know, most children, and they're probably, if they're playing and having fun, they're not ruminating on what happened in school earlier that day, or they're letting all that go for the moment and and being present, and that's how you play.
And look at the expression. When you think about what we hold in the body and how as adults we often don't play. And in when you watch kids playing, there's often speaking, laughing, shouting, yelling. There's expression of emotional energy through the body that's released and let go. Yeah. So there's this beautiful lightness that results because all of what they've been holding has gone and they're this nothing pure vessel. Nothing, no. And it's like finding what can you find that gives you that?
And I think that would be different for different people. I think creativity is a massive source. Like, you know, it's mostly going to come to something creative that, and we've been denied that. Most adults have that sort of drilled out of them through their childhood at some point of, well, unless you happen to be the next Michelangelo, no, you're not doing art, get out of the art room. And, you know, and even if you are talented, supposedly,
it's a waste of time.
You're never going to have a career in it, so don't try. And certainly if you pursue something to a career level, well, then that introduces other types of stress. But
it does.
But there should be no such thing as, oh, I shouldn't dance because, you know, I'm not a dancer. Like, I've seen quite a lot of, as someone who is an adult dancer and has started certain dance schools as an adult, or pretty much most of my dance experiences as an adult, lots of adults come to it and go, oh, well, you know, why would I do this? I can't be a dancer. And it's like, you don't have to be in a ballet company on a stage to be a dancer. You know?
No.
You can be driving down the living room and you're a dancer. And if you've got an interest in it and it makes you happy, then do it. And same for art, same for painting. You don't have to be producing works that will sell. You know, like that's
true.
A completely different thing. And, you know, it's maybe you do. Like, and certainly I think in your vocation you should find play as well. Like, just because I write professionally doesn't mean I – and some days I do treat it as a job and you have to come to it and it's hard and you just have to do it. But there are still many days when I try and find that element of play because that's what makes it inspired. That's what makes it worth doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we lose sight of that.
We do. And it's like
– as a society.
Play for play's sake and dance for dance sake and colour and create and, you know, play with colour. Just for the pure pleasure of it, like you say, we have to be careful. We don't want to turn it into something we can name or something that someone is going to approve of.
And same with yoga. Like, if I would say, like, you know, and there's going to be times when, okay, you're trying to deal with a specific issue, and so you want to do a targeted practice for that. But, you know, if you're doing your yoga out of a sense of duty or I should do yoga because it's good for me, but then that's not actually good for you. Like, it's you should come to it from a place of inquiry and wanting to move your body in that way, I think.
And if you have enough of those experiences, then you are wanting, you are finding pleasure and joy in it, which will bring you back for the next session and the next session and the next session. And sometimes there might be the odd day when, oh, I don't feel like going today, but I've often heard people say, oh, I nearly didn't come to class today, but I'm so glad I did because I feel amazing now. So there are always those days, but it's like then focusing on the feeling of how's this going to leave me feeling? And going for that sense of more freedom. Lightness.
And I think also being open to that, not just as an end result either. Like, don't just go to yoga so you can get through the class and have the feeling at the end. Can you find it in the class, in the moment, on the mat as soon as you get there? And and if you can't, then maybe it's not for you today. You know, it's like, because I find that sometimes, like especially with exercise programs, things like that, you know, like, oh, I should go to the gym, I don't really feel like it. And some days you go anyway and you have a great time and you walk out feeling uplifted and you're really glad you went and you didn't just stay on the couch. And then other days it's a struggle the whole time and you come out feeling like you've done something you shouldn't have. It's like, and I think that's, there's a difference there, and I don't know, it's probably another whole podcast topic on how to spot that. When is it a message saying this is not what you need right now, and when is it a message, when is it just you getting in the way of yourself, and really it is what you need. And that is, you know, that knowledge, knowing the difference, is going to probably come back to this alignment of your energetic system and being in touch with, you know, all of your chakras, but crown chakra is where that wisdom comes from.
Yeah. And really all yoga will lead you there. It's,
yeah, there's not any one pose, is there? Like,
no.
Usually we pull out a pose or something, that an asana that you can go and practice. But I think for Sahasrara, find the play in any pose.
What do you delight in doing, and what takes you more to that place for the pure pleasure of it and not for the fact that, oh, I need to stretch today because I've been sitting for too long. But what would you, how would you move purely for pleasure?
Yeah.
Purely... and see where that takes you.
And you might find that you're just doing yoga through that process. You'll suddenly find yourself in a, in, you know, a tree pose, or maybe you're suddenly doing a warrior, and you would be surprised, even if you think that you don't know any of those asanas outside of class. Like, a lot of people kind of come away from a class and go, I can't remember any of it. I think you might surprise yourself if you take away the expectation of getting it right and just let your body move, how much of it has actually stayed in there.
Yeah. Nice way to end, to invite you to be free and invite your body to move. And if you invite your body to move, give the invitation and let it happen. Ask for that divine guidance. Just let go. Invite the movement to come from deep within you and just see how you begin to move. It's a nice little experiment to do.
Yeah, there's no right or wrong way.
No. And let us know.
Yes. Thank you for listening.
We'll be back next week.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.